want to pray this morning that as you are listening, that God speaks to you. So right now, I want to start us off with a prayer. So let's get that started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for once again this morning that even if it's on Facebook or YouTube or however people are watching, Lord, that we're able to join together in some way and worship together and hear your word together, Lord. Lord, thank you for being in control through everything. It may not feel like it sometimes, God, but we know you're in control. God, be with Artie this morning as he shares a message. And be with Jackie this morning as she leads us through worship and song, Lord. Just be with everyone involved in this service. And just I pray that your will be done. All this we ask in your name, Lord. Amen. Alright, so this morning, guys, I wanted to share with you a quick children's sermon. So if you'll bring your kids in real close, I always like every week, I said to one of my families, I said, we're sitting here watching, and I enjoy that. I like to know that my kids that I miss dearly are watching. But I wanted to ask the kids this morning if you've ever been lost somewhere, whether it's out in the woods, maybe you're in a store, and you stepped away from your parents for just a second and you didn't know you were at. Being lost is no fun. I shared a story earlier this week in one of my videos about being lost in the woods one time. And, you know, it's only scary when the sun starts going down. But I got a picture of a compass here this morning. I don't know if you guys can really see that or not. But the compass helps lead the way. It shows north so we know which way we're going. In life, we can get lost. And there is not a compass, a physical compass like that, that we can pull out of our pockets to find a way in life. But there is a guide and a way for us not to be lost in this life. And I want to share some scripture to you this morning out of John chapter 14, verse 6. And this is Jesus speaking. And it said, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In life, things get tough. We don't always understand why things have to be the way they are. But Jesus Christ does not change with the circumstances around us. He is always there, and he is always leading us in the direction that we need to be going. So I want to challenge you this week. When things get tough, focus on Jesus Christ and use him as a compass to stay on track and move toward God. Let's bow our heads real quick. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these kids that are watching and their parents that are bringing them to the screens, Lord. Thank you that your message can reach us even when we're quarantined at home. And thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be our compass and always lead us in the right direction. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I have a scripture for you that I want to read before I sing this song. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. When I think I'm going under, part the waters, Lord. When I feel the waves around me, calm the sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, still the raging storm in me. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. When I think I'm going under, part the waters, Lord.
Okay, sorry about that. I always end up forgetting something. So, but according to what Governor Cooper said the other day, we are still unable to meet. He's extended the stay-at-home order until the 8th of May. We don't know what's going to happen at that point. He did lay out a multi-step plan on reopening the state, and as it lays now, according to that plan that he's laid out, it may even be July before we're able to meet all together as a church family. But as soon as we find out more, we're going to communicate with everybody what we're allowed to do and how quickly we're allowed to do it. But the one thing remains true. God is still on his throne. He is still in control. And there is nothing that the governor, the president, us, anybody can do to change that fact. that God is still God. And he has a plan for us. And he has promised us that he will take care of us and that we are his, adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And nobody can pluck us from his hand. And that is a truth that we must hold on to. And it is a truth that is absolute. So while we can't be together in person, we are together in spirit and we're together online. So we are the church, and nothing is going to change that. And as we continue today, we're going to continue on our study and look at spiritual gifts. And today we're looking at teachers. And I don't think it's by accident that this is the day we're talking about teachers. Because this past Friday, the governor also announced that schools would be closed for the remainder of the school year. And every teacher that I know was devastated. And we're going to look at this particular gift, and this particular gift is for the church. But I honestly believe that every single person that is doing teaching as their profession, as their career, they have been gifted by God to do just that. And we're going to look at that this spiritual gift today. So if you would turn, we're going to look at the same scripture we've been looking at for the past several months. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Now, these gifts are considered motivational gifts. These are gifts that are to edify and build up the church. But look at what it says in these verses again. I know you know these, but in verse 11, Paul starts and he says, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building of the body of Christ." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing. Dear Lord, you have had a plan since before time began. Your plan was to create us in your image, to walk and talk with us, to have that relationship with us that nobody else could have with you. And dear Lord, you chose to create us even knowing that we would choose our selfish ways above your ways. And dear Lord, from the moment in the Garden of Eden, when that choice was made, we've been making that same choice ever since. Dear Lord, we look at things not as black and white as you do, but we look at things with gray areas. And dear Lord, that is because we try to make you fit our life and our choices instead of making our lives and our choices match up to you. And dear Lord, I ask that right now you give us the strength and the faith to change ourselves, to allow you to work in us and choose to follow your ways. Dear Lord, thank you for the gifts that you have given to the church. Thank you for teachers, dear Lord. And dear Lord, I just ask you right now that you strengthen them, that you allow them to stand boldly and teach the truth. And dear Lord, bless this time that we have to come together and bless the reading of your word. And speak through me right now, dear Lord. And I ask all of this in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what exactly is a teacher? Well, again, in Ephesians 4, verse 11, the first part, it says, "And he gave some as teachers." So this is a gift from God. And the Greek word didaskalos is actually translated master, teacher, or doctor. Now I want us to look at this. This word didaskalos is used 58 times in the Bible. And in those 58 times, it is translated as master with a capital M, 40 times, and that is in referring to Jesus Christ. If you remember reading the Gospels, he is called Master, Teacher. He is always called this because he was considered to be a rabbi, a teacher of the law. And 40 times at this, out of the 58 times, it is used as a capital M, Master, in referring to Jesus. And it is used, is translated as teacher 10 times. And then it is translated master with a little m 7 more times. And then finally, it is used to and translated as the word doctor 1 time. So what does that tell us about this word and the meaning of the word that is translated teacher? It is basically a teacher is one who communicates knowledge, guides, makes known, or relays facts. Basically, a teacher is one that conveys the truth, facts. Now, what exactly is a fact? A fact is an absolute truth. I remember being in school and in chemistry, our teacher kept telling us that there were certain laws that we had to go by in chemistry, that if we combined certain chemicals, there was something that was going to happen, and nothing could go, we couldn't do anything to change that. And in fact, one day, the chemistry professor was showing a group of class what happened when you dropped sodium, the metal sodium, into a beaker of water, and how the combination of the atoms in water united with the atoms in the sodium, and it basically excited them, and they started buzzing around. Well, they all thought it was neat and asked him to do it again, so he dropped another piece of sodium in the same beaker. The next thing you know, I'm in English class, and smoke is everywhere. You hear a loud bang. Those atoms got so excited that they exploded. The beaker went everywhere, smoke went everywhere, all the fire alarms went off, we had to evacuate the building, and it stunk. That was a truth, that was a law, that you can't overexcite an atom without it going boom. So that's what a teacher does. They communicate knowledge, they guide, they direct, and they relay facts. In the context of the church, a teacher has a God-given ability to properly interpret and explain God's word to others. So, what a teacher would do in a classroom in a school is exactly what a teacher does in the church, except their textbook is the Word of God. They interpret it, they explain it so that others can understand it and learn. The same thing that our teachers do in our classrooms and schools, a teacher does in the church. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Teachers do not need to be ashamed because they are approved workmen. They know the word of God, they study the word of God, and their heart's desire is to share the word of God and help others understand what God is saying. Now let's look at the gift of teaching. Again, why do we have the gift of teaching? Well, verse 12 of Ephesians 4, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. The main purpose of these motivational gifts and the gift of teacher is to build the body of Christ. The gift of teaching is a motivational gift given to individuals to help shape and motivate the church. That is the main purpose behind the teaching gift. The properly used gift of teaching is essential in the life and service of the church. Let me say that again. This gift is essential. The properly used gift of teaching is essential. That means it is necessary. We cannot be a church without this gift. That's how important this gift of teaching is. Why do we say that? Well, it is impossible for the church to fulfill the mission that was given to us by Christ without teaching. Somebody's going to say, you're crazy. We can have a church. Right now, we're having church without Sunday school teachers. But are we actually, because we're still having Bible studies and people are still talking and we're still getting devotions, are we truly being the church without teachers? No. But look at what the mission of the church is. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the last part of the Great Commission. We know the first part. Go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then what's the second part of that? Verse 20 is the second part of the Great Commission. We can't just stop there and it be done. Look at what it says here. The first word in this verse, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We cannot fulfill the Great Commission fully without teaching, without someone in that church or somebody using their gift to teach people to command, to obey the commands. First off, we don't naturally know what the commands of God are. We have to be taught that. Just like in school, when children go to school, the majority of them, when they start kindergarten, they don't know how to read or write. They may know how to write their name. And honestly, some of them don't even know their address. I remember having to teach our kids, all of them, their address, their phone number, the difference between a city and state. Those things aren't innately in us. We have to be taught those things. And once they learn, they learn more and more and more, and things start making sense to them. And you see the lights going off in their eyes because they're understanding what is being said and what is being taught. The same thing happens in church. One of the greatest experiences that I've ever had is teaching a group of teenagers about some of God's truth, and you see them light up when they finally understand what you're talking about. And now as a pastor, the same thing happens when I have conversations with people, and you see their eyes light up and say, I understand that now. That is why we have the gift of teaching, to get people to understand this and to get people to grow closer and closer to God and understand what it means to obey them or obey Him and His rules. Now, here is the key. Proper teaching takes time. Proper teaching takes time. It cannot be rushed. You can't rush teaching. Teaching takes a commitment of time. When we fulfill the Great Commission and make disciples, it is not just leading them to the cross and then forgetting about them. It is a commitment of time where you invest into that person and you spend time with them, helping them grow. The same thing is done in the school system with teachers. They invest their time in those students. And that is what is so hard for them right now with school being canceled. They have not taught everything that they have to teach. And they miss their students. They want to be with those students. They don't want to do this distance teaching. They want to be right there with them, getting involved in their lives. And that is what's so special about teachers. Look at what it says in Acts 18:11. This is talking about Paul. And it says, and he settled there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Paul invested a year and a half with this particular group of people. He didn't just come in and preach and go somewhere else. He spent a year and a half with them teaching them the word of God. He invested that time in them. Now, let's look at some of the characteristics of those with the gift of teaching. Those with the gift of teaching have these, some of these general characteristics. The first being this, is a teacher searches for truth. If you have the gift of teaching, you want to know what the truth is. You're going to spend time searching for the truth. A teacher will study diligently. They will study and study and study because they want to know the material. A teacher will not just come in and just go off the cuff. They will study diligently, and when they walk in that room, they're going to be prepared. And then a teacher has a passion to discover and validate truth. Okay? A teacher has a passion. And that is true. And I see that all over Facebook, all over the internet with teachers. Their passion is to be with those students. Their passion is to teach. And the same with our churches. Those with the gift of teaching, this is driving them totally insane because they cannot teach the way they want to. And then a teacher instinctively questions anything that seems inaccurate. If something doesn't seem to be kosher or okay or jive, they're going to question it. And they may drive people crazy, but they know instinctively that something's not right. You think about all the excuses that we gave growing up, why we didn't have our homework, and our teacher would just sit there and just give us that look, or they look at us over the top of their glasses and just nod their heads, They knew. And they weren't going to buy it. I like the little story where the teacher asked the boy, Johnny, why is the essay that you wrote the same as your brother's about your dog? Did you cheat and copy his paper? He said, no, ma'am, it's the same dog. They know those things. They can tell. And I love it when my kids would come home and they would complain about their teacher, and I just look at them and go, They are so mean. They are so unfair. And they are out to get you. Yeah, I believe that. Now tell me what you did. Why did they tell you you couldn't go do this? Teachers know. Parents know. Okay? And then the gift of teaching, though necessary in the church, is an enormous responsibility. It is a huge responsibility. Those that teach in the schools, they have a huge responsibility. They're taking 20 to 30 children that aren't theirs, and they are given the responsibility for them 6 hours a day to teach and guide them. But in the church, the responsibility is even greater for those that teach. Why? Because teachers are held accountable for what they teach. Teachers are held accountable for what they teach. Look at what James says here in James chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. James himself says, hey, you don't want to be a teacher. Don't desire to be a teacher, because you're going to be held in a stricter accountability for what you teach. If you're not willing to walk the talk and live the life, don't teach. Teachers are gifted. Teachers are called to teach, to guide, to convey the truth. And in today's church, we have a problem. When it comes time for the new church year, we scramble to find teachers a lot of times. And we will pick a warm body. But I'm going to tell you something. There are many of you that are called to teach and have the ability to teach, but you're scared. And I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. God gave you this gift for a reason. Will you get the accolades that you deserve? No. Teachers in the school systems, do you get paid what you deserve? No. Not by a long shot. And you will get talked about, and you will get run down, you will get cussed at, but don't give up, because God gave you this ability to teach. And God is using you. Even in the church, God is using you. In the school systems, God is using you to impact lives. Some of my favorite people throughout my life have been my teachers. I remember Sunday school teachers. I remember sitting in classrooms with teachers. My college professors, they had such an impact on my life. And I love them because of that. Because of the time they invested in me. Don't give up. It's not easy. And the weight is heavy. But if God gave it to you, He's going to be there to help you carry it. And He's not going to leave you alone. And He's not going to allow you to fall if you trust Him. Let me pray for you right now. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before You once again. We come bowing before Your throne, dear Lord. But dear Lord, I come to You right now because we have teachers, even within this small group that we have gathered here in the building today. We have teachers. We have teachers that are watching. Those that have been gifted and called to teach others. And dear Lord, I lift them up to You right now. This is a difficult time. And their emotions are going up and down, and they're being asked to do so much more in a very difficult situation right now. I lift them up to You, dear Lord. I thank You for them. And I ask You to bless them. Dear Lord, it's going to seem like a long time off right now before we're able to teach again. But dear Lord, that time's going to go quickly. And we'll once again be able to gather in classrooms. We'll be able to gather here at the church and break open Your word and share. And I thank You for those that are finding different ways to still be able to connect and to teach. Dear Lord, I just ask that You just give them the patience and the strength and the faith to endure. And I thank You for the fact that You have called them to teach. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and how it impacts the church. And right now, dear Lord, I ask you to bless them, to strengthen them. Be with us as a church, dear Lord, that we will be patient and waiting for the time to be able to come. Thank you for those that are constantly calling and checking on each other. Thank you for those that are supporting the church financially, dear Lord, as we still have bills that need to be paid. And dear Lord, thank you for those that are working behind the scenes to make all of this possible. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory for it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Have a blessed, blessed day. And don't forget that we will be doing our live stream again Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. So you can join us here on Facebook Live or YouTube. Have a great, great day.